Jim Ward is the lead singer and rhythm guitarist for the band Sparta. He is also co-founder of the post-hardcore band At The Drive-In, which he formed in 1994 when he was just 17 years old. Today we're here with Jim to talk about his solo full-length album release called Daggers, which just came out this week. Jim, welcome to State of the Arts.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be back.
We've been doing this for a while throughout like the whole pandemic and now kind of coming out of it.
Yeah.
Is it safe to say Daggers is a pandemic project?
Yeah, 100%. Every song was written, actually it was all written within a couple of weeks in August, which is sort of the peak of my stress and anxiety. And, you know, like everybody else, it was kind of the moment where I needed to find something to keep my mental health together.
You've been putting out a couple of songs, one of which is Paperfish. I think that one's been just all over the internet and the web. And it's been great to see the response to it. I mean, I don't know. I mean, as an artist, is that weird to like, okay, it's out there and then like, what's going to come back? Or
yes. You know, we went into this with very little expectations of anything other than just some friends making music in a time when we needed to feel connected to each other.
Yeah.
Which is why it's Tucker Rule from Thursday and Ben Kinney from Incubus. Those are my two main collaborators on the record. And the reason for that is that we're friends outside of the pandemic. We've been friends. Tucker and I have been friends for almost 20 years. Ben and I have been friends for 15 years. And we've sort of always said we should do something together. Like we all like each other. We all like each other's music. You know, we want to play together, but it's hard because, you know, we all do other stuff constantly. So when I started writing these songs, I sent him to Tucker and he was sending stuff back within like a few hours because we just literally had the time. And then we sent it to Ben and he, same thing, he would send it back as soon as he could. And it was the only concept of it was to make music with your friends. It came from a real pure place, you know?
Yeah.
And because I'm under contract with Dynalone, I legally have to show them what I'm making before I put it out any other way. So I was just going to upload it to the internet and be like, here world, take this, like. And once I started showing them what I was working on, they asked if we could treat it as a proper record. And I was floored. And the reaction to it has been, to be honest, a little shocking and humbling. I told someone the other day to be 44 years old and having this LP come out is pretty surreal. I'm over the moon. It's a good feeling. You know, it's a good feeling when you put something out and people respond to it positively, especially when you don't mean, you know, we're not trying to do anything out of just make music, which is maybe why it's being rewarded, because it was made for pure intentions.
Yeah, something about, I mean, you're not really thinking about us, you're thinking about having fun with your friends. And
I was literally thinking about not going crazy. I mean, a lot of people struggle with mental health, and that was, last year was a challenge. Like we got pushed to the limit. And again, the good thing about being 44 or 43 when I started writing this record is that I know when that's coming and yeah. I know what I can do to feel better mentally. And it's make music, which is my therapy along with therapy. But music is also therapy.
Did you know that before? I mean, did you know that you were using music as therapy, or when did that self-awareness come through?
Since I was a little kid, I know that that's what I was doing.
Yeah.
It's funny because in a career like mine, suddenly the therapy becomes the problem. You know, the music becomes the thing that is driving you crazier than normal.
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes it just sort of ebbs and flows as when you can use it as that. I've been really conscious in the last 5 years of creating a space for me to make music and to enjoy doing it on a level that doesn't push me to dangerous boundaries. And it's been very productive and rewarding. The last Sparta record and this record, all made with a very clear head and a clear heart. And I think that that's the difference for me in the last half decade, for sure.
Well, and I know we're talking about the music and we will talk more about the music, but aesthetically, it's a gorgeous record. I mean, did you really, the design, I mean, the vinyl with all the beautiful colors and everything, is that just something you've been wanting to do?
The impetus of it was, I knew the name of the record and the cover of the record 5 years ago. And it's something that I worked with Christian Helms on. And I sort of started something in like late 2016. And I did a couple of shows and it just wasn't good enough for me. And I just stopped. Yeah. And ever since then, it's just been on the shelf. Like I knew that this, I knew that cover image would come back at some point. And then when, you know, when Dine Alone said, let's make this a real record, I called Christian right away and said, do you mind if I still use this image? And he said, yeah, you know, go for it. It's for you. So again, it's another thing that was made with a friend in a moment of needing a friend. And I think all of that for some reason just happens. Sometimes it just happens, you know?
It's beautiful though, isn't it?
It is. Yeah. I mean, I rarely say blessed, but I do say that I'm pretty lucky to have the people around me, you know?
Yeah.
I think I'm a lucky person. I have been fortunate. That's the word, fortunate.
Fortunate. Will you tell us about Paperfish and kind of what you were thinking when you wrote that song and how that one came together?
So Paperfish was the last song that I sang in the way, just to explain how I make records, is I write records as a guitar player and then I present them to myself as a singer. And sometimes the singer will deny the guitar player and sometimes he'll ask for more. And it's kind of a weird process if I stop and think about it, but it works really well for me just because I'm primarily a guitar player and I have been since I was a kid. So singing is like the even though I've been doing it for 20 years, it's the newer part of what I do. So I gave myself all of the music after, you know, Ben and Tucker and I finished it. I sang and wrote lyrics, sort of, I Got a Secret, which we'll talk about later, sort of the first thing and sort of probably the most angry thing, which we'll talk about.
Yeah.
Paperfish is sort of the resolution to the whole record. In my lifetime, there's been one or two, maybe three examples of sitting down and writing something sort of start to finish within a few minutes. Sort of all the lyrics and the melody happen really quickly. And it's like one of the most honest things I've ever written. And when I turned in the record, I told my management that it's the best song I've ever written. And that's not for other people to chime in on. That's nobody else's opinion. That's my opinion. And when we talked about the first single and the label said, we'd really like to release I Got a Secret, I said, I will 100% fight you on this to my death. It will be Paperfish. And this is why. And when I told them the story, they understood that chorus is truth. And to be able to communicate truth through music for me is so hard. So when it happens, I want to respect it. And I want to honor that and say, this is what I want people to hear. I want the first thing people to hear from this record to be the truth, because I write a lot in fiction and this is nonfiction. And I think it's important to sort of set that line in the sand for this album and say, this is how it's going to be. And we can explore from here, but this is the starting point. Like this is my zero right now. So, and I'm treating this as for the rest of my career, this will be my zero point. I will use this as my recalibration of what I do.
Do you think that nonfiction piece has a lot to do with maybe why we've responded so well to it thus far?
I hope so. Yeah. I mean, it's coming from a place of honesty and, you know, you've known me a long time. This is something that I talk about. I talk about wanting to be the best person I can be. It's not possible. I mean, you can be the best person you can be, but it's a goal that I don't think is it's not a destination. It's a journey. Right. So I just always say, like, I want to die the best person I can be.
You know, it's so funny that you say that. I could hear you saying that, you know, and just in our normal conversations, I could absolutely hear you say that.
For me to be able to put that in a song is hard. It's incredibly hard. And for me to put that in a song and not immediately think either this is too vulnerable or this is too cheesy or this is not good enough or this doesn't represent whatever everybody else wants to say. That's the difference of a solo record, is that it was only up to me to make those decisions and live with them.
Mm-hmm.
And it is a two-sided coin. Like yeah. It's not an easy thing. And sometimes it's the best thing, but it is, it just is what it is. So I think that at the end of the day, it's how I wanted to present myself. And I fought for it and I won the fight, obviously. And they were cool after I explained it. They said, we understand what you're saying and we appreciate that. And that's why I love Dine Alone. It's a great label to be on.